It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Huntington disease is a genetic neurological brain disorder that diminishes one's ability to walk, talk, think, and reason, and eventually leads to death. There's no cure. However, predictive genetic testing for Huntington's disease has been possible since the early 1990s. A child of a parent with Huntington disease has a 50-50 chance of inheriting that genetic mutation that causes the brain disorder. One of my guests this half hour is Kristen Powers. She's in Iowa City to give a talk in conjunction with the showing of the film Twitch, which focuses on her experience. Twitch is the first documentary film to follow the life of someone going through genetic testing for Huntington disease. Here's an excerpt from the trailer of the film Twitch.
I couldn't understand the heartbreak of knowing that you had it, because then you would feel that your life is pretty much over.
Personally, I would definitely go with the ignorance is bliss approach, at least until after college.
It's hard to get tested because one of the most valuable coping mechanisms is denial. If you sit with your fear of Huntington's disease 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it will paralyze you.
Well, I might have it, I might not have it, I don't know. What if I do, what if I don't? Like, I don't have anything definite to, like, grasp onto. And I think this test will make the disease more tangible and help me not really plan for life, because you can't really do that, but have a better idea of what my timeline, I guess, is.
Okay, that's an excerpt from Twitch that will be screened tonight at 7 p.m. at the Siemens Center on the University of Iowa campus in Iowa City. To find out more about how you might watch this documentary, switchdocumentary.com is the website. Kristen Powers joins me in Iowa City, in the Iowa City studio, documentary filmmaker and senior at Stanford, I understand. Welcome to our program, Kristen.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your mother's story. This is where this story begins. Your mother died of Huntington disease. Tell us about that.
My mom was diagnosed when I was 9 years old in 2003, and our story is a little bit different because it is a dominant disorder. So most families know that the children are at risk, or that someone is going to inherit it potentially because of a grandfather or grandmother in the family that has it. But my mom didn't actually know her biological father. So for us, it was a huge surprise when she was diagnosed in 2003. And we learned soon after, just from understanding the disease progression, that that meant my brothers and myself would have a 50% chance of inheriting the disease as well. And so the next 8 years or so, we're watching my mom deteriorate from the disease, which involved at first living with my grandparents and then a stay in the psychiatric ward of a hospital due to psychiatric problems related to the disease, and then into a nursing home where she would remain until she passed away in 2011.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember most about the time from the diagnosis until your mother's death, and with the knowledge that you may be carrying this trait?
I think the hardest thing for me was the fact that my mom lost the ability to communicate. And for a kid going to visit your mom, first of all, it's really weird to be a middle schooler going to a nursing home for your parents and not your grandparents. None of my grandparents are in nursing homes. They're very healthy. And to have my mom be there was strange enough, but then she, as part of the disease progression, lost her ability to talk. So it was strange to visit this woman who is very talkative and very outgoing for most of her life, and to see her there and basically just have a one-way conversation where you just tell her what was going on in school, in your life, but you couldn't really expect much back. And that was, I think, the hardest part at which I realized how severe and debilitating this disease was.
Once you realized that you were in danger of having these same genes, how hard was it to make the decision to get tested?
For me, I was, I guess, an anomaly in the sense that I knew I wanted to get tested. So I was very determined to undergo genetic testing as soon as possible, which in the U.S. is 18 years old. There's no law to mandate that, but most genetic counseling services won't offer their assistance until you're 18, just because of your independence and adulthood and legality and for those types of matters. And but I think it did impact how I thought about living my life and just approaching my life from a more positive, upbeat perspective, because I knew I would potentially, if I tested positive, have maybe less time than a lot of my peers. And so for me, there was more motivation to live each day in a happy and meaningful manner that also involved pursuing a lot of my dreams, like social activism.
Kristen Powers, we won't reveal the test results that are revealed in the documentary. You've asked us not to have that revealed. It would be a spoiler. The crux of the film experience, this documentary film, Twitch, is also it's necessary that that comes at the end. Let's talk with Dr. Peg Napolis is with the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, a professor of psychiatry and a specialist in Huntington's disease. Dr. Napolis, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You've been listening to this conversation. Tell us a little bit more about this disorder. Once you have it, you have these genes, is it 100% sure that you will deteriorate?
Yeah, so it is what's called a fully penetrant gene, which means that if you inherit the gene, then yes, you will develop the disease over time. And so that's what it means by being fully penetrant.
Is there any cure, any way to reduce the symptoms, slow the progression?
So there are certainly ways that we can manage symptoms, and that's actually probably one of the few ways in which we've seen significant progress in the past 10 to 20 years, is that we're better at managing symptoms. However, it does not slow the disease, and it does not cure the disease, let alone prevent it. So even though we feel better that we've made some strides in management, the ultimate goal is prevention, so we still have a ways to go.
In layman's terms, can you describe what's going on here in the genetics of this disease?
Sure. So DNA is the molecules by which the blueprint of your body is. So DNA directs how your body works, how it's developed. And DNA is essentially a special alphabet code. And each letter codes for a molecule, and the molecules build to make cells in your entire body. And everybody has this gene. Everybody has the gene that causes Huntington's disease. In the gene, there's what I call a DNA stutter, meaning that the special part of the alphabet, it's three letters, C-A-G, it's repeated multiple times. Everybody has repeats. That's normal. So in the general population, the number of repeats goes from 10 to 25. So everyone has the gene. Everyone has the repeats. But it's only when those repeats are what we call expanded. If you get too many repeats, if the DNA stutter, if the code stutter is too long, and the number by which we make the cutoff is at 40. So we know that if you have 40 repeats in this gene or beyond, or more than 40, then you will develop Huntington's in your life.
And if you have even more repeats than 40, depending on how many more, will that predict when the onset of this disease will be?
Yes, it does. So the number of repeats, which is essentially the degree of the mutation of the gene or the degree of the abnormality of the gene, is related to onset. So the longer the repeat length, the earlier the onset. Average age of onset is about 40. But someone with a very long repeat gene could manifest the disease in their 20s. Mm. Extremely long repeats can manifest even in childhood, even though that's very rare.
How many people in this country have Huntington's disease?
So it's a relatively rare disease. It's about 7 out of 10,000, and so it's not extremely common. However, what's important to remember, and especially in the context of Kristen's case, is that there's a lot of people who are at risk. And so it's not necessarily just the number of people who are suffering from the disease, but because it's a family disorder, it affects so many more people than just the disease prevalence.
When should someone think about getting tested genetically?
It's a very personal decision, and so it's actually something that's not as common. So, for instance, the number of people who are at risk for Huntington's, only about 10% of them will undergo the genetic testing.
Mm-hmm. We heard from Kristen the reasons that she wanted to do this. What are the reasons when people say no, the 90% who say no, what are the common reasons?
Well, at this point in time, it's because we don't necessarily have a mechanism by which we can change their fate. So we can manage symptoms, but we can't change the course of the disease. And so in many ways for people, if we can't necessarily change that, then it's information they may not want to know. And so we're hoping that this changes in the future, meaning that once we come to a point where we actually can change the disease, where we can slow it down or even prevent it, that will probably change the number of people who are interested in getting genetic testing.
Kristen Powers, it didn't seem that your decision, while hard, was not you sided with the 10% here. What advantages did you think that would bring you, knowing perhaps you had this mutation?
My senior year, I knew it was right for me to test because every single day I was thinking about my at-risk status. And what was really overwhelming for me was thinking about if I had the disease or if I didn't. So here I was, a senior, trying to figure out my path through college, my path after college, career choices, dating, and then new in the next probably 10 years, potentially family planning. And for me, the burden of not knowing had become greater than the burden of knowing. So I wanted, even if it were the undesirable results of having the disease, I felt like that would be more of a comfort than this constant battle between these two paths, because then I could at least, you know, figuratively plan your life. You know, there's a lot of curveballs, obviously, we all experience along the way, but I could find a way, I could better figure out how to manage a career, how to manage relationships, and whether or not I would have a family.
And not be surprised as your mother was.
Yes, and I think that had a huge influence in my decision to test, because she didn't know she was at risk, and by the time she was diagnosed, she was severely symptomatic, and so she had no chance to really react to that, and that wasn't how I didn't want to be blindsided by the disease like she was.
Kristen Powers is a documentary filmmaker. Her documentary is Twitch, the first documentary to follow the life of someone going through genetic testing for Huntington disease. Dr. Peg Nupolis is with us of the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, a specialist in Huntington's disease. Also with us toward the end of the hour, Jamie Parrish is with us, a native of Eldridge, Iowa, now living in Des Moines. Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming into our Iowa City studio. You're on the board of directors of the Iowa chapter of the Huntington's Disease Society of America. You got tested for Huntington's disease. Why?
I got tested at 25. I'm 30 now. I was at a point in my life where family planning was...
You had reason to believe in your family that you might have this mutation.
Right. My grandfather had it and my father had it. And so my dad had actually committed suicide when I was 16. And so I saw my grandfather deteriorate over about the next 6 months. My dad knew that he had the same disorder, and he couldn't cope with living like
Had he been tested?
He had not been tested, but he knew that he had similar symptoms as my grandfather, and he couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. So I was 25, and I had a serious boyfriend. I had a career. I was out of college. And I was, you know, at the point where I knew that if I was about to have kids, that I needed to know whether I was positive or negative, because I couldn't live with myself passing that on to somebody else.
And so you got tested. Are you wanting to tell us the result? If you don't want to, that's fine.
Yes, I am gene positive.
You are gene positive.
Yes.
You have the mutation.
I do.
How did the day you found out that you were gene positive with this mutation change your life?
It completely changed my life. I wasn't really prepared, I guess, either way, whether it was going to be positive or negative. Nothing really could have prepared me for that result, as much therapy as I had had beforehand.
The burden of not knowing was something that was causing you a lot of mental stress.
It was. And even now, almost the burden of knowing also causes stress, because I'm positive. So I quit my job and started volunteering to help raise awareness for Huntington's, because it's a very rare disease and a lot of people don't know about it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a boyfriend. Did this change relationships?
Yes. We broke up. I was living in Alabama at the time, and I actually moved home because doctors I've dealt with are kind of uneducated about Huntington's because it's a rare disease. And so I moved home to get help from doctors here at University of Iowa because they are very well educated on the topic of Huntington's.
It's a tough, tough bit of news to swallow. I don't imagine that was an easy thing, and it probably took how long to cope with this this new version of your life?
It actually took a couple of years. I was very depressed for a while. It wasn't till I started volunteering that it kind of changed my depression around. So yeah, it was really tough. It still is tough some days.
Mm-hmm. Do you have regrets that you got tested?
I did for a while. Now though, I don't. I'm glad that I know.
And you're part of this movement.
Yes.
Let's talk about this movement, Kristen Powers. What is this movement about? Why are young people getting together about this disease?
I think this is maybe one of the first generations where this disease suddenly isn't so stigmatized as it used to be. Even as recently, well, so to give you some history, the way HD was first researched was by George Huntington going into insane asylums. So people with this disease were thought to be crazy, alcoholics, drug addicts, and they were often put into these insane asylums in the late 19th century and then institutionalized later on. So people were very much ashamed of having family members in this disease, and the medical profession didn't understand it. So there's been a huge stigma in terms of talking about the disease, both within families, to friends, and even to medical professionals. And I think with my generation, we have received some of the benefits of advocacy from our predecessors and are at a point where it's much easier to talk about this disease through social media and through our different networks. And the reason we want to talk about it is because we've grown up with this disease and we know how tough it is and how it's influenced our lives. So we're really hopeful that through our advocacy, we can find treatments and cures that would help the disease. And I think our generation is very much known as an information needy generation, where we have such constant access to the information we want, like Google, and the internet in general. So I think genetic testing is a very interesting topic to us because we have a lot of people come to us and say, I would totally test. That's, you know, I would want to know. And it's an interesting conversation to have because we have to explain what it really means to be genetically tested and then what it also means, not just for us, but for our peers as well, as we're growing up and being exposed to genetic testing for every genetic disease under the sun and what that means for our society.
Right. That's how we universalize this. This is just this disease. We're talking about this half hour. But as science progresses, Dr. Nupolis, we will be able to find out a lot of other things about ourselves that we may or may not want to know. And that is the road we must walk and have to have some road signs about what decisions we make.
Absolutely. And I think that the important difference is that in the next, you know, generation and era of genomics, we will find out more information about personalized health. One of the differences is that we may learn a little bit more about genes that can put us at risk. So there's still a big question mark. So in the next decade, I think it'll roll out more for personalized medicine, that you may be able to find out the genes that may affect your life. But Huntington's and those in its class, meaning that there's another group of genes that cause brain disease similar to Huntington's, it's different in that, we talked about it before, it's fully penetrant. So it's a little bit different information to know exactly what your fate is than, you know, I have the potential of getting cancer someday. And so even though you bet we'll be continuing to get more and more genetic information about our health, those genes that cause disease by a single gene, like Huntington's, is a little bit different in the terms of how you deal with that information and what it means for your life.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Parrish, you have been tested and you have this mutation, the Huntington disease. How has it changed your life? You're sitting here across from me, wonderfully eloquent, talking with me. How do you cope? What point do you arrive at that you can go on and reform your life? What did it take?
Some days I kind of just want to crawl in a hole, actually. But most days I just want to raise awareness and let other people know what my journey was, because I felt very alone for a long time and thought that I was the only one out there. So I just want other people in the same situation to know that there are people out there who've been through it and can help you. And Kristen's doing the same thing.
Right. Kristen, finally to you, when you have this decision to make, can you boil it down into a way to think about it, a way to approach the decision that you think would give a result, and it's going to be different for different people?
I think just going into genetic testing experience is you have to just understand it's, as Jamie was saying, a life changer. And I think it opens a Pandora's box that maybe none of us can really understand. But I think if this is a decision that's going to make your life easier, or you think it's going to make your life easier, then maybe it's one you pursue. But for anyone who's undergoing genetic testing, whether or even if you're not, I think the biggest, I guess, factor to happiness in your life is having a support group. And that support group is self-defined, whether it be through friends or family. But I don't think my genetic testing experience would have been the same if I didn't have my best friend with me, or my high school and my peers from the high school. So I think anyone going through genetic testing should have a support group to help them along the way.
Kristen Powers, she's in Iowa City to give a talk in conjunction with the showing of the film Twitch, the first documentary to follow the life of someone going through genetic testing for Huntington disease. Kristen Powers, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Jamie Parrish, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
And Dr. Peg Nupolis of the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
River to River is produced by Claire Roth, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.